Hey guys, Connor here with Crosstown Chatter, here with my co-host Colin Winston. Today we're going to be discussing a multitude of things, but probably going to be more of a White Sox heavy episode with Dylan Cease getting traded. And since Colin's the White Sox fan, I'll let him get his thoughts out first.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts. We knew this day was coming. Didn't know when. I honestly thought we were going to have Dylan for opening day. I really wanted to start this season out in a win fashion, maybe. But yeah, on March 14th, the White Sox traded Dylan Cease to San Diego. And in return, we got four players, a couple of which are now currently our top 10 prospects. They move up in our ranks. And I think three guys now in our top 10. And then one other relief pitcher, I guess, that has been doing well in spring training this year. But, you know, we'll get into it. So those four players are Drew Thorpe, right-handed pitcher, Jairo Iriarte, also a right-handed pitcher, Samuel Zavala, outfielder, and Steven Wilson, yet another right-handed pitcher. You know, before I give my initial thoughts on it, what was your initial reaction when you saw that that trade went through?
Well, my initial reaction was that the White Sox got absolutely fleeced, because the first reports I saw was that it was just Drew Thorpe and I think Zavala, if I'm not mistaken, or it might have been Jairo, but my initial thought was like, there's no way, like, he waited this out to get this package. adding the other prospect and the reliever in there, I think it's a good trade, especially for the White Sox. I mean, there's
Better than the initial thought process. I also saw the, like, two names that came up when the trade was being finalized. And when I saw only two guys for our number one pitcher, I got a little nervous. I got a little angry, but no, I agree. Seeing those two other names pop up definitely made it a little bit easier to let go, but it's still not what I was looking for. I guess you can call this an official rebuild, even though no one's really talking about it. No one's said it verbatim, but it pretty much is. You know, you can see what Guess is trying to do here. But how do you think this trade could have went better for the White Sox?
So how I think it could have got better was that, you know, you got Drew Thorpe, who's a top 100 prospect, awesome, but he's towards the bottom. And if you look at him, he's only had 1 year in the minors. So is he MLB ready? Did he even play in AAA? Let me see. Let me get a quick stat check.
Real quick. I know two of these guys did not play in AAA yet.
Yeah, so he's played high A and he's thrown 30 innings in double A. Like, I keep seeing, oh, Drew Thorpe's going to be in the rotation. I don't think you go that route right now with only having, what's his total innings? 139 total innings professionally, which is 139 innings is a ton of innings for your first pro season in the minors. But Drew Thorpe, right, great grab, because I think it's a guy you could also throw in the minors for another year, maybe let him polish up some things and he climbs up the ladder. With guys like the other guys, right, Zavala, I haven't looked too deep into him, but from what I've heard and what I've been seeing, he's a fringe top 100 prospect type of guy. So, you know, and he's only 19 years old, right? So I don't want to call these guys, Jairo and Zavala, I don't want to call them lottery picks, because they're not true lottery, right? When you call, say, a lottery pick, that's like someone who's still in, you know, low A or even, you know, rookie ball or the ACL. Arizona Complex League. I just thought they could have got more. What I was truly expecting, I think I texted you this, was one of their top prospects, not like Jackson Merrill, but You know, one of the, I forgot the names, but one of the guys in the top 50, maybe right outside the top 50, grab one of those, and then like a Drew Thorpe and then like a lottery ticket. That's kind of what I was expecting. You know, Samuel Zavala, you know, he hasn't made it past high A, it looks like. Yeah, he's had 14 games in high A. So, you know, and as you all know from me talking on the past podcast, you know, double A is where boys turn into men. You know, that's where you're made into men. So, lottery tickets, in a sense, they're cussed on the top 100 prospect. For Jairo, he's also maybe a fringe top, but he's got so much reliever risk, and he's also not been to double A. And especially for pitchers, the double A is a big jump. I know, like, there's a chance Jairo ends up being a reliever, and it's pretty high. Overall, I think if Cease would have repeated his 2022 season, I think the package would have been a lot bigger. But I think with what happened last year, you know, there is some risk. This could be a trade where, you know, Drew Thorpe shoves, where Jairo ends up hits his ceiling and becomes a starter. And Zavala is a staple in the lineup for years to come, but the reality of it is it's probably not the case. But I mean, you got Drew Thorpe, who's a top 100. He's only 23 years old. He's only had 1 year in the minors. So overall, I would probably rate this a B minus to a B overall. It's nothing that I'm like, this is a bad trade, but it's also, I'm not sitting there blown away by the package.
Well, I will say this, it's a better trade than the Bears just had, giving away Justin Fields. but that's a different story for a different day. we could definitely talk about it if we really wanted to. But yeah, I will say this is I would also grade this more like a B minus C range. I think that's just me being kind of greedy, because I think Dylan Cease is worth so much more than this. I think if you really look at what they're trying to do with this trade, and it's probably to establish some type of farm system notoriety, or just try to get a better foundation built underneath this team. But I don't know. I just really wanted to, and every White Sox fan wants to see results immediately. And so you want to see big trades happen, but it's, I guess it'll do for now. I mean, Thorpe being number 85 total prospect in the league. Zavala, I think he only got up to double A, maybe, or single A. But in his minor league, I think 2023 season, batted .243, 14 home runs, and 77 RBIs. Not bad. Not bad numbers. But you kind of touched on it a little bit. That AAA baseball is kind of reserved for the guys that they're ready to call up if need be. And going from AA to AAA is honestly like a bigger gap than people probably think it is. And that's where you're still developing your guys. And once they're ready, that's when you put them into AAA, because all those AAA guys can come in and start on a roster, usually on any given day. Like, that's really where they want their reserves to be. And you want to work up to that level. And it's just, I don't see really any of these guys besides maybe Drew Thorpe getting to AAA sometime soon.
No, if they haven't made it to AA, it's usually the safe way to go at prospects. Like a normal route for prospects is one affiliate per year. So if they're in high A, then they'll make it to AA by the end of the year. Double A, yeah. Then they get to triple A, then the majors. So usually unless they're like destroying the league, then they'll get promoted fastly. But usually right. That's the case. So like Zavala, guys like Zavala and Jairo, those guys are 2-3 years out minimum, at least.
Yeah.
And Drew Thorpe is probably a year.
Unless they pop off, you know, and that's mm-hmm. what could happen in the whole minor league system. That's what it's there for. It's like guys don't get stuck in minor league. That just means they're not performing. Like if you have preseasons, like, or even regular seasons in the minors, like people like Jackson Holiday, right? just absolutely destroyed minor leagues, and you can tell that he's ready for
and he the got, big leagues. And he got catapulted through the minors. Mm-hmm. He's a AAA in his first unheard of year.
Like people, yeah, you can do it as long as your results are there. Go off. Like, we'll gladly have you on this baseball team if you can produce at high levels. But going back to Dylan Cease, like, talking about producing, as an entire career for the White Sox, he's been nothing but great. I mean, obviously, pitchers are going to struggle here and there. His slider wasn't working for him as well as it did in 2021-2022. It's still a great pitch. He still uses it. I think it looks better this year, but I think it was just getting to that point where we had to get rid of him because that's just what they're doing. They're clearing house. And I didn't think it would happen this soon, to be honest. I was kind of shocked when I found they went through with that decision, because I thought it would happen later in the year. Or even, I honestly thought he was going to go to the Yankees now that Cole's going to be hurt.
I never thought they were going to go to the Yankees because I just didn't think after trading for Juan Soto and Verdugo, they just didn't have the depth they needed to make that trade without giving up a top prospect.
Yeah, that's true. You got to think about the other perspective, not just your own team. But honestly, one of the first thoughts that came to my mind, a little bit unrelated, but not really, is how we only have a few superstars on our team now. Like
a few?
Luis Robert.
I would say one.
Yeah. I would say one solidified. But in White Sox respect, we have maybe three superstars sometimes. Definitely Luis Robert being that number one guy. He is just an incredible baseball player. But where I was going with this is that I feel like he's going to be stuck on an island for his entire career now, unfortunately, because clearly the White Sox didn't want to build around him. I mean, this isn't really building around this guy. It's solidifying your team. No, I was talking about Robert, like building around him.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
And it's like now we're getting prospects in the mix, building up our foundation to this team. And it just doesn't seem like we're anywhere close now to.
No, and the way I'm looking at
becoming competitive soon.
Yeah. The way I'm looking at this too, right? You spoke about building around Luis Robert. Like these guys that they got, except for Drew Thorpe, I guess, like, they're not going to be ready in time. Like, the White Sox can't or won't, I should say, spend money to build around a team, right? We saw that when they, from 2019 to 2022, we saw that. We saw that they didn't want to just add these free agents. They were missing out on free agents. Like, they offered Manny Machado a deal with a bunch of incentives, and he was like, no, like, I'm taking the guaranteed money, right? So, like, mm-hmm. When you refuse,
probably what deterred Bryce Harper for that little time being that it was a possibility that he could have been on the White Sox. It was like, if you're trying to negotiate with these guys and their agents in a way that only benefits you, they're going to see right through it. They're mm-hmm. going for the money. Like, it's their business too.
Yeah.
You know, you got to think
it's
about
it. It's like, hey, we're going to give you $90 million less dollars guaranteed, but you can make an extra 10 if you hit your incentives. It's like, they don't care. They want the guaranteed money. They don't want incentives, especially on a long-term deal.
Yeah.
But in that sense, right, where I'm kind of going with this is that you need to have it like where you guys went wrong. Not wrong, but where you guys messed up in your first rebuild was that you guys had all these top prospects, but you had no depth behind it. You guys missed on a lot of guys. Like, you guys took Nick Madrigal fourth overall, who's now on the Cubs, and he's like a, what is he now? Like a bench player, basically. Who can
Pretty
hit?
Much.
You had all these top prospects who didn't necessarily work out the way it was supposed to, right? Eloy, Yoan, they were supposed to be perennial all-stars every year. Like, that was the case. And they still can be. But the reality of it is now they're older, now they're nearing free agency. You know, you have no more Tim Anderson. You have no more Jose Abreu. You don't have like these staples in the lineup anymore. I just don't. Again, it could change in the course of a year or two, but I just don't see a path here unless they sell Luis Roberts and they get because they would get a stupid package from it for him. Like,
pretty sure he's a Boris client now too.
He would get probably three, if not close to four, top 100 prospects. Yeah. So the way I look at it is that, you know, they might be able to compete in years three and four with him, but if they're not going to dish out that massive type of contract that he's going to be looking for, then they should cut bait and get what they can and build up with prospects, because he's the type of guy where you could get three or four top 100 prospects and truly rebuild your team with cheap talent.
Yeah, I mean, it can easily turn into a Baltimore Orioles situation if you play your cards right. And we'll kind of see that in the next few years, 3 to 4 years probably. And hopefully they do the right thing. There's a lot of different factors that go into it, especially a lot of time between now and the next 3 years. So a lot of things can happen. But yeah, as for Luis Robert, I mean, hopefully he can just keep going out there and do his thing and see his career blossom like it should. But yeah, going back to Dylan Cease and as a whole, as a trade, it's tough to see him go, but hopefully he does well on the Padres. Padres rotation doesn't look too bad right now, so I think he can definitely help them. Hopefully he can do some. I mean, the Padres really cleaned house with a lot of their moves, but
yeah, they did. They moved a lot. They moved Juan Soto. Yeah. They moved. And they got Cease back, so that's not bad. But I think they'll be fighting for a wild card. The Padres will get there.
Definitely could be. Definitely could be. I mean, Dylan Cease, Michael King, Johnny Brito, Randy Vasquez, and Kyle Higashioka.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting team to watch.
Acquired by the Padres while getting rid of, what is this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 guys from those five guys that they got.
It's not bad.
Kind of the opposite of what the White Sox are doing right now.
Well, and they just announced that Jackson Merrill will be the starting center fielder this year, number 12 prospect in baseball. So that'll be really exciting to watch too. Uh-huh. And they got Fernando back. He's off that steroid ban, which in my opinion is BS because it wasn't even a steroid he was taking. But they'll be a fun team to watch. The Padres.
What was it? I don't really know. I didn't.
It was like a something that's like supposed, like just helps you recover, but it's on the banned substance list. It was like in an ingredient. Yeah. Of something he was taking. So it was like, he just messed up.
There's actually a couple guys that I think have been like kind of accused of that similar thing. It's like, just because it's a PED doesn't mean they're getting Barry Bonds level. You know, this is helping them get back on the field quicker, which granted, if everyone can't use it, you shouldn't be able to use it. And you should be, you know,
I think baseball have your
consequences.
But I think baseball would be more fun if everyone could use steroids.
Yeah, it'd be a lot more fun.
Imagine that. It'd
be harder to pitch, but
a little bit.
Have a lot of inflated numbers, but
a lot of health, problems later on in life. But you know, you get to hit a ball 500 feet. So
yeah, you know, you're replacing a few million dollars for an enlarged heart later.
Worth it.
But yeah, before I go into what the White Sox rotation could look like and just pitching on the White Sox in general, let's turn it over to the Cubbies. What have the Cubbies been doing this past week?
Man, a lot, actually. So Shota Imanaga had probably his best start. He went 4.1
ever, innings. Probably.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the whole stat line because MLB.
Didn't he have nine strikeouts or something?
Nine strikeouts in 4.1 innings, was absolutely dominating. He looked awesome. Like, if that's the guy we're getting, we have our number one or our number two that I was talking about earlier in the podcast. Now, he's still got to keep the home runs at bay, but man, if he can give us like that every five or six innings, every fifth, sixth day, I'm happy, especially at the price we got him for, at the max of the deal, what it turns into a 4 or 5 year deal at like 80 something mil. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a steal. That is an absolute steal for that type of pitcher. So I'm really excited about that. He just had a great start. I think now the rotations, I think we covered this a little bit last week, but it's now looking like it's going to be Justin Steele, Kyle Hendricks, Shota Imanaga, and Jordan Wicks. And then that fifth spot, who knows, Ben Brown. Yesterday, I believe he had a really good start, 4 innings pitched, 4 hits, 4 strikeouts. They're stretching him out as a starter, as they should. So that'll be a fun name to follow as the inevitable pitchers on the Cubs get hurt and they need a spot start here or there. That curveball just looks disgusting. Like, that thing just moves and hitters don't know what to do with it. They don't know if it's coming in for a strike or if it's going to drop another 8 inches and be in the dirt. It is. If you ever get a chance to watch one of his starts, I recommend it, because that curveball is, man, if you can get Cade Horton's slider with Ben Brown's curveball and Jordan Wicks' changeup, you're looking at a perennial Cy Young there.
Cy Young, yeah.
Yeah, just from prospects' pitches. But that's exciting. That was exciting to see. Javier Assad, I actually have this pulled up. Let's see what he did today. He ended up pitching today, and I believe he did well. I had it pulled up and then I lost it. So he went, yeah, he did good. He went 3.2 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run, and 4 strikeouts. So he had a good outing. I liked what I saw. You could tell now they're stretching him out as a starter. I think, as I said last week, I want him in that rotation. If it's not him or Wisniewski, I think Smiley definitely needs to be in the bullpen. That's just the reality of it, but he's exciting me. And then my last guy on the list for what I like this week is Seiya Suzuki is starting to pop off. He has over he is an OPS over
400. That you were.
Oh yeah, yeah, I saw it, dude. Like, the other day he had 2 home runs in the game before that, 2 doubles. He hit a double today. So he's starting to, and this is his first spring training. This is his first year at spring training, 2022. There was the lockout last year. He got hurt during the World Baseball Classic. So he's able to get his ramp up this year. So man, if he picks up where he left off, he'll be an MVP candidate if he picks up where he left off at the end of last year. I'm super excited.
I was hoping that you were going to say his name.
Yes, because he is just,
because I saw him. Yeah, he's actually being more aggressive. You know, you can see him pulling the ball. I think last year was a lot of like hitting for contact, but now he's like kind of establishing his dominance at the plate right now. I think, I don't know how many at bats this was taken from, but his like batting average as of late is like over 400, like well over 400.
Mm-hmm. His OPS is over 1400.
That is just, I mean, you knew that he would do better this year, but it's looking really good.
And that's how many at bats? 27 at bats. So again, not like a huge sample size, but enough to be like, hey, 1400 OPS over 27 at bats. Any player would take that during any stretch of the year. He is seeing the ball. I think he only has like 4 strikeouts too. I can look.
That's awesome.
Let's see. I think I can find it. Oh no. Yeah. He only has 4 strikeouts. So that's
ridiculous.
That's just insane. That's like a 15-16% strikeout rate with all that power and production. So man, I'm telling you, this Cubs team is starting to, if they don't do good, I'm going to be depressed. That's all I can say, because you got all these guys who are looking good in the spring, Morel, Seiya, Bush, you got the pitchers looking good. You got some
Belly
new guys.
Just hit a home run. Blood.
Yep. Belly. What was it? Seiya, Belly, and Yan went back to back to back yesterday. That was electric. And then Yan Gomes and Seiya decided to hit another one. So that was so much fun. But man, this team it gets me excited. We got a top farm system. If this year ain't our year, then 2025 is. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I want to see what it looks like when you get to that, like, I don't know, do you get to 30 games in the preseason? I think so.
Around there,
Yeah, I
roughly.
mean, and it's you play a lot of different guys and do a lot of different things. You wouldn't play these games like a normal game throughout the season. So take that with how you will, but I think you can give a rough estimate on how a team might do in 30 games of preseason compared to the regular season.
And it depends. Yeah, and it depends too,
It
because
really depends, but
with
it's a
preseason,
rough estimate.
you're throwing guys in there that aren't going to see the MLB this year. You're just getting them reps, getting them some at bats.
Yeah.
But you can kind of get a feel for who's doing well, who's heating up, who's looking good. But it's exciting, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, definitely wish I could say the same. I mean, you just don't like to see 8 wins and 15 losses for the White Sox in spring training. You want to see a little bit
It's not
different of
as bad as
production.
I thought they'd be.
They went on a little bit of a heater, if you want to call that that, in the last week or so. I think they won 4 or 5 straight. Now maybe it was 4 straight, but.
Oh, you know what's funny? The Cubs are 15-8.
15-8, of
Yeah.
course. But I mean, like you said, it there a whole lot of things depend on how you actually want to play these ball games in the regular season, and it's not going to be the same. At least I hope not, because if that were true, then the White Sox will probably win 48 games.
I mean, honestly, if they win 60, I'll be shocked.
Well,
Because
that's kind of why I said it's like a rough estimate, because it's like there's potential for us to win 48 games. There's potential to win a little bit more than 60 games, I think. But now that standard deviation is a lot lower than it could have been, I think, with.
Cease was a guy who would probably change that skew by about 7, 8, 9 games easily. So it's just, it's how it goes.
Because then you add him, if he's still in the rotation for at least a portion of the year, that means the rest of your rotation looks different, and those 3 to 4 game stretches look different. So not having him switches a lot of different question marks back into play. Just segueing right into the White Sox rotation now, you're looking at potentially Fetty being our number one pitcher. I know they're high on this guy, but that's an
Oh
interesting
shit.
number one, you know? If it was me, I would put Garrett Crochet out there the first game. I'd like him at number
Yeah.
one the way he's been pitching. So hopefully he's solidified his role in the rotation. So that's one guy. Eric Fetty could be two. And then now you're looking at Michael Soroka taking a bigger step, which might be our three. I'd say 2 to 3, maybe 2 to 4. He'll be in there.
I mean, who gets
And
your opening
then
day? Who gets your opening day nod, though?
I don't
What about
know.
that? Like
I have no idea.
Soroka? I don't even know.
Like I said, if it was me, I would put Crochet out there opening day. But I don't know if they'll actually do that.
Well, here's the thing too, is that I'm worried about, is that like, did they say Crochet is going to be a starter? Stretch out as a starter? Did they say that yet?
They haven't officially said it yet, but I mean, when you move Michael Kopech to the bullpen, which I'll talk about in a little bit, that clears your rotation up a little bit. And they haven't kicked Crochet to the bullpen yet, so I'm assuming that he'll be in the rotation, which also leaves Chris Flexen as another one. But I think now that's only four guys, so
You
now
might
you
have the
gotta.
worst rotation in baseball.
We could.
Like, that's a reality.
We'll see. I mean,
It's just like, I think of these guys. They're either brand new to the team on like a low level deal, or like they're just like unproven. Like
yeah, because
I just don't
now
see
you
this
need a
rotation
fifth
being
guy
good.
and you bring up Nestrini potentially, and he doesn't have a whole lot of experience.
Yeah.
He's good, but like, he's not, he doesn't have the innings pitched under his belt yet. And this is going to be a year where a lot of these guys get their big break. I will say that. I mean, you can look at it however you want to, but this is going to be a year where they're going to try a lot of different things. I think what you see in spring training might not be a whole lot different than what you'll see throughout the regular season. It's a very long season, and we don't have a whole lot of staple guys. So, who's going to be number one? Not sure. Who's going to start opening day? Don't know yet.
It's just, this rotation just confuses me because it's like you move Michael Kopech to the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
So funny because we just talked about starting lineups last week.
I think you had him at number two.
I did have him at number two. And that was just because of tenure and what I think he could be.
Yeah, he has a ton of innings pitched.
So now 40% of what we thought the rotation is going to be is gone. So now it's like, okay, Nick Nastrini is probably going to get a nod. He'll probably be up there, hold his feet to the fire a bit. And then that fifth starter, I don't know, maybe there's another prospect or two they want to see. I don't know if Drew Thorpe is ready. If they think he's ready, then they'll throw him out there. But again, I doubt it.
What scares me more is that now guys that were already designated to the bullpen might have to come back into the rotation if they start guys, because they'll probably do something like a 6 or 7 guy rotation potentially on some weeks, because I don't know if these guys are going to be your staple 5 guys or 4 guys even. So that means you might have to take Touki Toussaint-Peck into the rotation.
Oh, you're going to have, like, at some point, yeah, because like
you're
going
to have to start Jimmy Lambert some days.
Any team will tell you you don't need 5 pitchers during the regular season. You need 7 to 8. You need 7 to 8 guys who can take the bump during the year.
Absolutely.
Whether that's a spot start here or there, whether that's for an injury, whatever that may be. Like, you guys lost a lot of depth in the last 2 days, and that was Kopech and Cease. And I guess you didn't lose depth with Kopech. He just moved to the bullpen. So it's like, you know, if we're having trouble naming the 4th and 5th starters, imagine when it gets to 6, 7, 8, like those guys that are lined up in for the next spot starter too. Like, it's just like, I feel like later in the year when the injury bug eventually hits one of these guys, as it always does with every team, you're going to be sitting there like, who the hell, where is this guy from? Who is this guy taking the mound right now? And, it was like when Frank Schwindel got pulled up for the Cubs in 2021. And you remember that name or no?
Vaguely.
Exactly.
Much.
Exactly. But he comes up after Rizzo gets traded. This guy who was like a career minor leaguer. He's like 28, 29 years old. And from like August on of that year, he hit like 14 bombs with like 1,000 OPS, was just tearing the cover off the baseball. And then they were like, let's give him a look next year. And he got cut like halfway through the next year. But everyone was like, who the hell? Like, everyone's like, oh, he's a made up character. He's not real. I feel like that's what's going to happen with the White Sox pitching rotation.
And it's so weird because the pitching rotation looks like that. And you're going to have to expect guys who don't have a whole lot of credentials to their name to just show up in some of these major league ball games. And you have the opposite outlook, at least I think, defensively, when you have guys such as like Colson Montgomery, who hasn't been doing that much in spring training, but you know, that's neither here nor there. You have guys like Edgar Caro, which we have a solid catching staff right now, but still, you want those guys to build themselves up or even fail in the minor leagues before they get to fail in the big leagues, right? So it's just kind of interesting how you have these two different outlooks from pitching and defensively as far as when you're sending these prospects in. You know what I mean?
100%. And it's, I guess the only thing you could do, it's kind of like with Ryan Poles, right? With his QB decision, it's like, just kind of got to trust him. Just hope for the best, take it for the ride. I mean, I'm going back to my old point, but if they wanted this fast track this, you get rid of Luis Roberts, there's going to be a billion takers for him. You could swipe some real talent for Luis Robert if you don't think you're going to contend, or give him that monster contract in the next 4 years. Yeah. I'm going to die on that hill saying, man, if you traded him, I don't think the Orioles would take him because they have Jackson Holliday in the minors is like the number one prospect, and they'd be blocking him if they did that. But man, a playoff team that needs a center fielder, a stud center fielder, Dodgers, Braves, whoever, basically any contending team. I bet you the Yankees would drool at the fact to get him.
Oh my God, yeah.
The Yankees would probably give up everything for Luis Robert.
And what would we get in return? Fucking Trent Grisham.
You get some lottery tickets, a new washing machine.
A six-round pick.
But man, that's the hill I'll die on. But like, I think it's exciting though. Even though you guys are going to be dog shit this year, especially now, I think it'll be fun to watch these new guys come up, whether they struggle or succeed. I think it'll be a good time. I think it'll be fun to watch what they're able to do, maybe not do, see what they can work on for next year and kind of build that hype moving forward.
Yeah. And I have been optimistic, and I feel like it's kind of changing right now. I just feel like with Cease leaving then soon, it just kind of switched things up for me. I just feel like it's hard to be as optimistic as I think I once was, even in these last couple weeks, especially moving Kopech to the bullpen. That is not something I actually thought was going to happen. He pitched Saturday against the Giants in relief, and lo and behold, there was no run scored, and he even touched 100 miles an hour. I think in an interview, he mentioned that, you know, he still had a rocky start, but he got to be more aggressive in that role. I think they're even alluding to he could be potentially a closer for us, which I'm not against, but I don't know if that's like his role. I think he was gearing up to be a starter, and that just kind of got ripped away from him, and I don't think he was really told why. Yeah, I don't know. It's not somewhere I would want to put him as a coach. I'm not obviously the coach of the White Sox. I know they might be seeing different things, and maybe that's where he'll succeed in even more. You never know. But I also really liked seeing him pitch starting games, and he definitely could have been now in that number two or three spot in the rotation. But yeah, it's just kind of got me scratching my head a little bit, you know, especially after Cease being gone. And then you do that to Kopech. Those two things just didn't make sense.
Yeah, and I think the move for Kopech is because I think they see him as like maybe a swingman where he can go like 1, 2, 3 innings. But then I think they see like once he gets through a rotation once or twice, it's like it's just not really viable. So I wouldn't be shocked if I saw him like take the mound this year to give 2 or 3 innings of work per appearance. But I think it's a value thing, right? They kind of like, you know, you saw last year, you saw the year before in the starting rotation, it's kind of like, ooh, like there's not really a ton of value if he's getting blown up like this. But hey, as a reliever, he could be a shutdown closer type, or maybe an eighth inning guy, or a sixth inning guy, or a fifth inning guy who can go 2, 3 innings and provide value there. I think that's why they made the move, is because they wanted to make sure that they're getting I think him as a reliever, a dominant reliever, is more value than him as a spotty starter. So I think that's maybe why they made that decision.
Yeah. It's definitely not a death sentence bringing him to the bullpen. And no. Like you said, he could definitely come back and start a couple games if need be, which they probably will have to at this point. But
I mean, you see a lot of bullpen guys, they are failed starters. That's what it is. You see that a lot of the time. Like you see a good amount of people brought up as a bullpen piece, but like, you know, everyone brought into, not everyone, like 95-90% of the people drafted and brought into these organizations, they're starters.
Yeah.
And then eventually they get transitioned to relievers, and then they have enough stuff or enough pedigree to where, like, hey, they're good in short enough stints to be in the or be in the bullpen.
Right. No, definitely. I mean, that's the point of pitching. You want your guy to go out there and shove and pitch as many innings as possible, efficient, and getting outs quickly and going those extra innings. But
mm-hmm. And like, I have a hot take as well. If you'd like to hear it, if you'd like to indulge in my
love conspiracy theories,
I think they also moved him to the bullpen because they know if he can be that guy in the bullpen, they can flip him at the deadline for a lot.
Hmm. Always thinking about the money moves. Are you?
Mm-hmm. That's what I would do if I was like, damn, I know we're not going to compete. He's here. He's got no trade value right now. Let's get him in the bullpen, see if he can dominate, and then we can flip him a few months later and get a nice prospect or two back.
Yeah, it seems to be their MO right now.
GM Connor at work.
Yeah, yeah. Where's your team?
Gotta get my money up first.
But
I'm only about $1.3 billion away, so we're getting there.
It sounds like you're closer than Jerry Reinsdorf, so with him asking for all this money. But I don't know. I guess the White Sox are going to be a big what-if team, I'll tell you that much. And we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes in the next few years. Probably have to sell everybody to get to where we want to be, but the immediate success is not happening for the remainder of the season.
You guys will actually invest in an infrastructure that helps build and develop players instead of just relying on top draft picks and hope to God they're good enough to make it.
If we're really lucky, maybe Jerry will sell the team. But
that's your fastest way to contention.
Yeah.
Sell the team and have someone who will actually spend money.
Sell it to the Ricketts and see what happens.
Jeff Bezos is looking for a team. He has a lot of money.
I don't know if I would want him as the owner.
You guys could have the little robots.
Maybe we'll get Shohei Ohtani if we do that. So or sign somebody.
Just sign him. He's just going to offer Amazon stock to whoever joins.
I mean, that's a pretty solid incentive. Yes, but right? Manny Machado probably would have taken that.
Here's 500 mil in Amazon stock. Good luck.
Good luck. Who cares if you strike out every single at bat? But so those were the big headlines, I guess, this past week. We'll see.
The Cubs White Sox, was it summer skirmish? Is that what it was? Or the spring? The
spring breakout.
Spring breakout.
I like the summer skirmish. Maybe that's coming soon.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Spring breakout that I got canceled. I was so sad. I had my computer, I had my phone ready to stream, and then I got delayed an hour, and then an hour later it was like, yep, we're not doing this. And I was like, please reschedule, please.
Are they?
But I was so excited now.
Dang.
Unfortunately.
I know a lot of other spring breakout games were pretty lively.
Mm-hmm.
Got to see Paul Skeens versus Holiday.
Struck him out.
He is deadly.
Yeah, they're both going to be fun to watch for a while.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's what happened this past week, and we'll see how things progress and see how the Cubs stay hot in these next couple weeks. And yeah, we appreciate you listening, and tune in next week for some more updates, and we'll wrap it up.
11 days till opening day. Looking forward to it. See you guys next week.
Appreciate you.